Welcome to the Apple Context Machine, a podcast about all things Apple, with your hosts, Jeff Gamet and Brian Chaffin.
Today is December 13th, 2010, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 183, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, brokenhearted Hoover fixer sucker guy. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on anything or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM.
Pew, 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 pew.
At macobserver.com.
Oh.
Did you catch the title reference?
My head started spinning halfway through, and the sad thing is I had an awesome joke to go with that.
Uh-oh.
And by the time we got to the end with the enthusiasm you were showing, it was gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But, you know, that's how it rolls when you're doing a live show.
Sort of live show.
Yeah, well, you know, the studio audience is usually at least – well, some of them are awake.
It sounds like it. I thought that was a little bit lackluster. Come on, wake up, you guys.
Yeah.
Now, my title came from the awesome movie Once with Glenn Hansard and Marika. God, I forget get her full name. But fantastic movie. Really, it's a great little love story. And, yeah, brokenhearted Hoover fixer sucker guy.
You know, if we weren't doing a live show, mm-hmm. we could have done a whole edit there and done a quick Google search to make sure you had all the right info.
That's true. Well, and as it is, we can just still edit it out and no one will have heard that.
That's true. And I don't know why I'm on this. We're recording Live Kick tonight.
It's because you just did the live interview with John Braun on KNSS.
Oh, yeah, that's probably it.
Yep, they did a show on digital cameras on broadcast radio, and I think we have a link to it, right? We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes. And it was a fun show to do.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes. All right, so this is probably about where I do the intro for the rest of the stuff.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to go ahead and get to it?
Sure, unless you want to have some more witty banter.
No, I think that's enough witty banter for today.
All right. Microsoft ain't gonna take losing the mobile gaming market without a fight. And Ping gets a context machine checkup, and we have a few holiday gift ideas for you too.
Microsoft isn't planning to just let Apple walk away with the mobile gaming space. What with its iPhone and its iPad and its iTouch. No, Big Redmond is very serious about Windows Phone 7. And Kieran Connell, development lead for Microsoft Game Studios, said at the Evolve conference in London last Wednesday that there are too many players in the market to let Apple take that market without a fight. Quote, and I quote, I think there are too many people with too much money invested to let Apple win in terms of flooding the entire market, Mr. Connell told listeners, according to a report from GameIndustry.biz. Quote, you'd better believe Microsoft is very serious about Windows Phone 7 and protecting their part of the business, mister. It's going to be an interesting time, that's for sure. Okay, I may have added a little bit to that. So what part of the smartphone business is Microsoft actually, you know, have to fight for at this point? Well, they didn't really mention that, but they are trying really, really hard, you know what I mean, with Windows Phone 7, which was released earlier this fall, if you noticed, which you probably didn't. Just saying.
I just don't know where to go after that. right. Excuse me. Apple's music-focused social networking service, Ping.
Ping!
Doesn't feel quite as anemic as it did when it first launched, thanks to the addition of Twitter support and the ability to make and share playlists. Now, there's enough going on with Ping, Ping. Now that we decided it was time to take a look at the state of the service, so we'll dive into that once we get into the context machine.
And like it or not, the holiday season is here, which means it's time to try to convince your friends and family to buy you cool presents. We have a few suggestions, but convincing your friends to buy them for you is all up to you. And that sound means that it is now time for the context machine within the context machine. It's like an enigma inside of an enigma.
With green chili on top.
Or maybe a burrito inside of a burrito. Anyway, this is where Jeff and I delve. I'm operating on very little sleep here, so this is like
really?
The punchy show.
I hadn't picked up on that.
So this is where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on.
All right. I want to start off by pointing out that in the intro,
uh-huh,
where I said ain't,
uh-huh,
you have no idea how difficult it was for me to use that word.
Oh, and I wrote that for you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Why did you have someone, a nun, who used to smack your hands with the ruler?
No.
That's not how you do it, Jeff. Whack.
Okay, that's kind of exciting when you do that. I'm a little concerned now.
Okay, that's a whole nother show, man.
Oh, right. I don't want to lose our clean tag.
Different demographic.
Oh, right. Right. Okay, my bad.
No, seriously, why can't you say ain't?
I think it just goes back to having that drilled in my head through so many English classes over the years and spending some time as an English major in college. Just the notion of ain't as a real word just kind of hurts. But I know that the English language is alive and evolving, and there are words that are accepted today that weren't back when I was a kid. And by the way, get off my lawn.
Mr. Gamut, what was that you said? You will not use that word because it is not in the dictionary. Now stand in the corner. Is that how it went?
Yeah, which is crazy because I didn't go to Catholic school.
I actually had a friend who did go to Catholic school in the 70s, I guess. And he was smacked on his hand with a ruler for writing with his left hand.
Oh, my God.
I mean, in the 70s, that was still happening.
That's crazy. Well, you know, I'm left-handed, and there was one point where my mom went down to the school in grade school and had to have a talk with the school staff about it's okay that I'm left-handed. But I never got whacked with rulers because I just went to regular old public school.
Mr. Gamut, the left hand is of the devil.
And then my eyes started to glow red and the pea soup came out. And,
exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the Halloween party I was at recently.
Indeed. So let's talk about this whole... okay, let's face it. We picked the Microsoft story because we kind of want to, you know, have a little fun.
Well, you know, gaming and fun go together.
Yeah, gaming. Well, in this case, a little fun at Microsoft's expense.
You know, they have enough money in the bank. They can afford a little expense.
That's true. That's true. They can. But, you know, it's interesting. So, I mean, this cat that made these comments about, you know, too many people are too invested to just let it go. He's not an executive. He's effectively a high-level manager. And he's an important person within the mobile gaming space for sure. And he's also a very, very smart. Sorry about that. He's also a very smart guy And Microsoft has collected a lot of talent at its gaming efforts, and they have invested a lot of resources in both PC gaming and console gaming in particular. But, you know, at this point, Microsoft is such an also-ran in the smartphone business. I mean, it's not something that you give up without a fight. It's more like you've already lost the fight. Now you've got to claw back some space if you want to be taken seriously.
Isn't that kind of how Microsoft has jumped into some of these markets, though?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. The difference here is that they were an early player and therefore an important player, you know, before Android and before iOS.
Okay. Yep. That you're right. That's a big difference. Like for the console gaming market, they weren't a player, and no. So that they clawed their way into that market by buying a company, Bungie, and then using their massive bankroll to fund themselves as a loss leader.
Right. The hardware was sold at a loss in order to compete with the PlayStation.
Right. And to be fair, the Xbox 360, now that it looks like they've worked through the problems where they just kind of die, that's a pretty cool gaming system.
It is. I mean, they've done a lot of work with Xbox, and they have made it a very, very big success now. So it used to sort of be, you know, Microsoft is never going to be able to upstage Sony with PlayStation. And they actually relatively quickly got to a position of parity with Sony and eventually passed them up. And then, of course, Nintendo came back with their Wii and took back a lot of gaming market share, leaving Sony as the sort of third player. So it's Wii and Xbox at this point as the dominant platforms.
Right. And so Microsoft has done a good job with the console gaming market.
And PC games.
Yes, and PC games. It'll be interesting to see if they can make a comeback now in the mobile gaming market.
Well, but to do that, so that's one of the things I pointed out in our coverage of this, is that there's sort of a difference. I mean, the rules are different with the mobile market in general, and I don't think that games like, okay, I'm doing such a bad job of this, right? So with the console game, you already said that they bought Bungie. And they basically used all the excitement of Halo to sell the first couple of million Xboxes.
Right. And that was a really smart move on their part.
It was.
It pissed off a lot of people, but that's not the point here. It was a smart move.
It was. It did. Yeah, it did piss off a lot of people, and it certainly was a very, very smart move. And the proof is in the pudding. The Xbox has done very, very well. And a lot of that can be pinned on Halo, although Microsoft has since done a lot of other really good things, including Xbox Live, their online service.
True.
But I don't think you can sell phones on the back of a franchise game.
You can to a degree, because there will be a subset of gamers that will be happy to jump onto that platform simply because it's Windows, simply because they already have an Xbox that they think they'll have some type of integration or whatever it is.
And they will actually have some kind of integration.
Right. But I have a hard time accepting that you would get a massive, you know, like a critical mass level of migration into the Windows 7 phones, simply because you can get games for the device.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Especially when You know, to me, one of the benefits of the iOS platform for both iPad, iPod Touch, or all three, I should say, iPod Touch, iPad, and iPhone, are the very, very consistent experiences, you know, because Apple has so few models.
Right.
And that, of course, isn't the case with any of the other platforms, not even RIM, which is the other big whole widget competitor to Apple. And so, you know, what I mean, I just like, short of buying Chillingo so that Angry Birds Halo HD is Windows Phone 7 only, I don't think that they can throw money around and get people to buy the devices the same way they could with Xbox.
I agree with you. And the notion of Microsoft buying up Angry Birds, part of me just died thinking about that.
Yeah, can you imagine if future versions of Angry Bird were available only on Windows mobile phone, whatever?
No. Well, I can, but not in a good way. And I picture me sitting out on the curb crying as I'm slowly sipping, nay, as I chug from my bottle of Mad Dog 4040 in a paper bag.
Pouring some out every once in a while in memory of Angry Birds HD.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's – again, the rules just aren't the same. The rules are not the same. And – you know, we talked about this recently in one of our morning staff meetings. I give Microsoft a lot of credit for going its own way with Windows Phone 7 and not trying to copy iOS like Google did with Android.
Sorry, I'm still sitting here visualizing crying on the curb. Sorry. This is a different game for Microsoft. Yeah. Oh, I said it's a game. That was clever. Anyhow, this is a different game for Microsoft, and the mobile market isn't working the way the other markets Microsoft has hopped into have worked.
Right.
So I'm having a hard time seeing Microsoft being able to replicate the same type of success they've had with the Xbox with Windows 7 Phone. And part of that comes from the notion that now Microsoft will try and be every phone to everyone.
Right.
And I don't think that they can really do that.
No, I don't
know
either.
Not successfully. And I know there are people out there that will say, well, Apple has done the same thing, and I respectfully disagree. Apple made a phone that was easy to use and had a set of good core applications. And then later on, it became this platform that was suddenly good for gaming too.
Right. And, you know, I'm the last fun company – let me try that again. I'm the last person that will ever accuse Apple of really getting games, even though Graham Devine says differently.
Yeah, well, maybe Apple has a division that gets games.
Yeah.
And which is different from the way they used to be.
Some key people. I certainly don't think that Steve has ever really gotten the importance of games. But be that as it may, I think it's definitely fair to sort of reiterate what you just said, which is that sort of unplanned by Apple, iPhone became a huge gaming platform. As a matter of fact, it's at this point it's probably the dominant mobile gaming device, the iPod Touch and iPhone.
That's very possible. Of course, I don't have numbers right in front of me, but that seems like a totally reasonable assumption at this point.
Yeah.
And the fact that Apple has been able to grab so much of the mobile gaming market, I think is a testament to the quality of the devices and the interface that Apple has created. I mean, how could you possibly have this gaming platform just explode by chance almost unless you had the other pieces in place to make it possible?
Right. Yeah. I have to agree with you entirely. It's because of the feature set that was in place on the iPhone, probably the iPhone 3G, much more so than the iPhone, that really set all this in motion.
I think so.
And so, but once again, coming back to Microsoft, it's
first word sounds like
it's almost like they're in denial about their actual lack of position in the smartphone space.
Okay, Microsoft has been in denial to the point of being openly cocky about Apple's position in the whole mobile market ever since the iPhone came out.
That's true.
I like our strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, you go on liking that strategy, Steve. Yeah, I'll give you two thumbs up there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll have to see. I think that it's foolish to count Microsoft out of anything that they really set their minds to. They have a mixed record there for sure, but they also, part of that mixed record is a lot of success with a few certain things: Internet Explorer, Xbox, and Bing is actually doing really well too. Bing.
Now, you know, one of the things that I think has been helping Bing.
Bing.
Bing, and for people that don't know, and I'm sure there's someone out there that doesn't, that's their internet search engine. I think they've been able to pad their traffic and statistics by striking deals that force people through the Bing website. And as an example, I don't know if it's still working this way at DIA, which is Denver International Airport. To use the free Wi-Fi in the terminals, the login and terms window that you have to accept also included a little thing that said, to continue and to be able to use our free internet, perform a Bing search now.
Bing.
And it had a field there that you had to type in something to search for before you could get past that window. And
wow.
Actually, yeah. So
how about paying Verizon to replace all of Google services on one of their Android models with Bing stuff?
Well, there you go. And a lot of people that will get a phone like that would have no idea.
Right.
And even though you can go and change that service to Google, they wouldn't know.
And, no, I don't think you can change it though.
Oh, you can't?
No, that's all the people
that
talk about
now.
How awesome Verizon is and how much they want a damned Verizon iPhone. You know, all I can think of is the way that company treats its customers by, you know, artificial, you know, like a phone with a GPS and turning it off so that you have to pay for their GPS stuff. That's a common Verizon tactic. And the thing with the Bing stuff is you couldn't change it back.
Okay. See, I missed that one little bit, and it's amazing how a tiny piece of information like that can make something so far worse than it was before. Wow. Wow, that's really crappy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you can jailbreak the phone and hack it the way you want it. But
yeah, my mom's going to be right on top of that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, most people are just going to take what they get and use it, or, you know, not use it, as the case may be, which seems to be the case with a lot of Android users, but whatever. The point is, they can't really do this sort of thing All the tactics they've used to for you know to extend their Windows monopoly, to kill Netscape, to bust into the console gaming market, they can't really use those same tactics. And they don't make their own hardware, so it's not like they can dump the things onto the market, right? Well, I guess they could pay. They could pay a carrier, pay the entire cost of the phone. How do they even make money at that point? It's not like Google, where they want to make money from ads, and Apple wants to make money from the hardware.
So Microsoft has a buttload of money, so. They have cash that they can throw at what they see as annoyances. In this case, they don't have the lion's share of the mobile market or mobile gaming market. Okay, so they can throw a ton of money at that. But at some point, aren't the shareholders going to get a little pissed off that Microsoft is just throwing money at markets and hoping that they'll eventually recoup that?
No, I think it's what shareholders expect them to do, really. I mean, it's only if it fails that they have a problem with that, because that's what Microsoft has always done.
Yeah. Still, I mean, it would bother me if I was a Microsoft shareholder, knowing that they were just throwing money at projects and there was no reasonable guarantee that I would ever get to see a return on my investment.
Well, okay. But again, I mean, that's what they've always done. I mean, people have invested billions in the company.
That's true.
Hoping that strategy will actually work. And it has worked a lot.
And how'd that work out for the kin?
Didn't work out very well for the kin.
No.
But I refuse to rule out Windows Phone 7. It's so different. It could find traction.
I think Windows Phone 7 has a good chance of being a contender in the smartphone market. Whether or not they become a big gaming platform, or it becomes a big gaming platform, I'm not as sure about that.
Yeah, so that's true. You know, I hadn't even thought about that. There's two separate issues there. There's whether or not they can actually start moving some of these devices, and then whether or not people are actually going to buy apps for them and such. And that certainly remains to be seen. Well, I don't know. We'll definitely have to keep watching for that. But I think that it's going to increasingly become a fight between Apple and Android here in the States, in North America, and a three-way race with Nokia in the rest of the world.
That would be interesting to see Nokia, or Nokia, I guess, depending on where you're from, to see them still continue to be a strong player.
Well, they've got so much momentum that they will. Whether or not they're an actual contender, you know, like a viable ongoing contender, I think that they will be in the top three for, you know, 3 or 4 years to come, no matter what.
Okay,
on the global market.
Yeah. Okay. I'll accept that. My feeling is, in the long run, though, Nokia will become a player in what do they call it? The feature phone market?
The no profit zone?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So not the smartphones, but the ones that are a step below that, where they have specific smartphone like features, but not all the features.
You know what they should do?
Do tell.
Thank you. They should take Android and branch it and do their own thing.
Oh, why not? Everyone else is.
Everyone else is. And I'd actually be pretty interested to see the result of them doing that. That'd be kind of interesting. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I wonder if people would look at Nokia in the same way that they looked at Palm. When Palm started making Treos with Windows,
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and at that point, Palm was having a little bit of trouble, and to a degree Nokia is, although it's a much bigger company and much bigger market share. But when Palm started using a competitor's OS on some of their devices, there's a lot of people that immediately lost faith in the company and just walked away.
Well, it's true. And, you know, it's funny. I hadn't really thought of it quite in this way, but Palm took the advice that everybody was giving Apple forever. Separate your hardware and your software.
That was such a horrible move.
Yeah.
And then they turned around and bought themselves back. So they lost money on selling themselves, lost more money on buying themselves back.
Although at least they were able to buy themselves back for less than what they spent.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They did.
Less than what they sold it for from the initial public offering. But be that as it may, Palm did that. Let's move on to Ping. Bing!
I just love that every time we say ping, there's that extra little sound.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So we thought basically that that since we're one of the only people that ever talks about ping,
that we kind of owe it to our audience to continue talking about ping.
Yeah. Especially when Apple actually does a few new things. And the two things that they've done since we talked about it last is they added the Twitter support, which I thought was cool. And then this most recent thing, which was done, I guess that was done late last week? Was that this morning?
That was actually today.
That was today. Yay, something topical.
go us.
Go us. Yeah, so that to me is a big step forward in providing a feature that actually makes the service worth using, seeing, you know, checking into.
Yeah, when they added the Twitter support, I was cautiously optimistic because, linking it into Twitter means there's actually someplace beyond the very walled garden that Ping is that people could see some Ping content.
Right. Bing, bing, bing.
Right. Now, my concern was that my Twitter stream would suddenly get flooded with people liking songs.
Right.
And that didn't happen. I have noticed that there is some content coming through, but not so much that it's an annoyance to me.
Yeah.
And I noticed that as soon as Ping got Bing. Twitter support, that there was suddenly a lot more people wanting to follow me on Ping. And I think a lot of that's because they actually had a reasonable way to find out that I was using the service.
Right. That's certainly true. And I found the same thing, although to a lesser degree, because I don't tweet as much as I should.
Tweet. And apparently I don't know how to shut my mouth.
Or steal your fingers.
Or steal my fingers.
And that's what she said.
Oh my God, you beat me to it.
Jeff, you will not make those kind of jokes that are inappropriate.
I'm going to have nightmares about being in Catholic school tonight, which is really kind of sad, never having gone to Catholic school. And the nuns that I'm picturing are the ones from Blues Brothers.
Yeah, fair enough. So this new thing that they did this morning was they added the playlists. And the playlists were there before in the form of iMixes.
Right, but no one ever used iMix.
Right, because again, it was one of those things that was just, there was no reason to get to it.
Right, and to the best of my knowledge, it wasn't easy to get that iMix information out to your friends.
No, it wasn't. And I remember seeing a couple of iMixes out there, but honestly, I'd forgotten about them.
I had completely forgotten about the iMix feature. I mean, really completely forgotten about it until we started talking about it today.
Right, yeah. Adam reminded us. Adam Christensen from the from Maccast and now the Mac Observer.
Yeah, we have the coolest people working
for
us. We
do. We have the most awesome staff. And
yeah, we really do.
One of the things that the very first thing that leapt into my mind when playlists that could be shared through Ping came out was the sudden viability of being able to have discussion, desert island discussions.
Right, right.
And I honestly can't wait to put together a desert island list and see if anybody has anything to say about it, which I hope to do in the next couple of days.
I'll be watching for it.
And yeah. So, I mean, that sort of thing is the kind of interaction that might actually bring people's attention, at least some people's attention. And, you know, I mean, the big thing about ping, to me, was always that, you know, I really worried that Apple was going to introduce it and then sort of forget about it, which they've done with a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to. I think that they have a well-planned roadmap for Ping.
Ping?
Ping. And they're slowly rolling out features and making changes. And then, of course, updating the roadmap based on feedback from users.
Yeah, funny enough, I actually don't think they have a laid-out roadmap. I think that they have been sort of seat of the pantsing it. That's I had a very, very different feeling about it. That it was like, you know, it's something that a small team with an Apple wanted to do. They got the okay to do it, and it never really got a lot of resources. But now it's ready to go, and so, you know, Steve's going to announce it, and then, you know, it quietly goes away. That's been my worry. But what we've actually seen is that Apple has been steadily making improvements to it.
Now, and see, the fact that they're making these improvements is what leads me to believe that they do have some type of roadmap laid out. And I think the roadmap that they had before the launch is not the roadmap they have now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, well, I mean, clearly they anticipated launching with Facebook integration and that fell apart.
Well,
and so
right,
we still don't have that.
We don't know that,
right?
Do we?
Well, we know that they demoed Facebook support when they did the big media event where they showed off Ping, and for people that started playing with Ping when it first came out, like in the first couple hours, there was that little Facebook button in there, and it didn't do anything, and then it went away.
Yeah, Steve didn't actually show us anything with Facebook.
No, but what he said was you'd be able to search your Facebook friends and made it very clear that there's supposed to be some type of actual active link between Ping and Facebook.
And the other rumor to go along with that is that Mark Zuckerberg basically wants access to people's information.
And that's so shocking. I can't believe that Zuckerberg would want to get at our data.
Right. Yeah.
So what a shock.
We have two massively arrogant CEOs, one of whom is very, very, very accomplished, and the other one's a young punk.
Right.
And
so,
I know that Apple won't give in to them, but the problem here is that Apple may actually need the young punk to truly get Ping off the ground.
Yeah, we'll see. Now, maybe it's just because I'm following the right people, but when I go and check out Ping, there's always recent posts from people.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, my Ping stream is always active.
Yeah, that is true. And the Apple execs that I'm following aren't really all that active, funny enough.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that?
Yeah, so I think Ping's going to do okay. I know there's a lot of people out there that think Apple should just go ahead and take it out behind the barn and put it out of its misery right now.
Oh, I'm definitely not in that camp.
Neither am I. I think that Ping will grow,
Bing.
And it will become Ping, and it will Bing. Become more than it is today. And I think it'll be around for a while. And I think we'll see more and more people start to use the service and enjoy it.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I think they've made huge improvements, and if they can keep up with those improvements and keep them coming steadily, they might be able to attract more eyeballs.
I think so.
Now, speaking of eyeballs, one of the things that I do with my eyeballs is I watch DVDs.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
It really wasn't.
No, I loved it. So, Brian, when you watch DVDs, uh-huh. do you ever have to make your own?
Sometimes.
Really?
Uh-huh. Do you know what I like to do when I make my own DVDs?
I bet you like to make them look really sharp and really professional.
I do, with Disc Label by Smile Software. Smile Software!
Your new jingle's coming along really nice.
Thanks.
Yeah.
They are our sponsor for this particular episode of the Apple Context Machine.
They are. And if you're not familiar with Disc Label, it's a absolutely awesome program for Mac OS X that lets you create really nice, really professional, really sharp-looking labels for your CDs and DVDs, and let you make matching jewel cases and sleeves to go with them. It includes a bunch of templates so that you don't have to just look at a blank sheet and try and figure out what's going to go on it. Although you can if you want, but there's a lot of really nice templates, really easy to work with, and the templates are all designed so that all you have to do is say, this is the type of disc I'm using, or this is the type of label that I have, and then it shows you where you can put things, so you don't have to worry about putting, say, a picture of your family in a place where your mom's face is right where the spindle goes, unless you really don't like your mom, and then maybe you'd want to do that.
But, that's true. You could do a little passive-aggressive stuff.
Sorry, Mom. That's just how it works. I don't know.
And let's face it, it's probably your mom-in-law. by the way, Jeff and I were having a discussion. I was telling him how much I hate the phrase, let's face it, especially when it's used in any kind of forum post or comment. It's always, to me, it's almost always written along with a weak argument. So anyway, just wanted to let you know why we kept laughing.
Yeah, and to be fair, you make me laugh all the time anyhow, so there's that too. And so thank you.
Anyway, so I noticed I pulled up our special URL, which is smilesoftware.com/AWR.
Mm-hmm.
This label is featured on it with a nice fat discount, but they also have some Christmas themes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So it's really great if you're making, DVDs for grandma or great grandma or, you know, the wee ones or whatever it is that you're doing. If you're making some DVDs with some movies or some slideshows and stuff like that for Christmas presents, you can use Disc Label to make them look Christmassy.
That's awesome.
I wonder if they're, I honestly don't even know. I wonder if they're like, you know, Hanukkah themes or Kwanzaa themes.
That would be kind of cool. And, well, you can modify themes. So even if there aren't, I bet you could find one that's really close to what you want.
That's true. So it's 30% off right now.
Oh, nice.
Which makes it $24.95. It's regularly $35.95. And you can get that link only from us. They get that price only from us even, and that's smilesoftware.com/AWR. We have the link in the show notes, and we would like you to show your support for this company that has shown such great support to us.
And they really are cool. And I know I wax poetic about Smile applications.
We both do because they're great.
Yeah, and I mean, these are applications that I use, so I know what I'm talking about. The good stuff.
You know of which ye spake.
Aye.
So, something else that's cool.
See, I'm just letting you go with these segues because I just love seeing where you start and where you end up.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I wanted to, since this is probably the last show we'll do before the holidays, I thought that we could, A, use the opportunity to link to the fantastic TMO gift guide that you put together.
Oh, yeah. I can make sure we have that in our show notes.
But I figured we could also just sort of rattle off a couple of Christmas gifts and tell you why we like them. Christmas gift ideas, why you like them, or in some cases, why we want you to buy them for us.
Oh, my God. We could get presents.
We could. Listeners that really love us will send us presents.
That's so sweet.
That is sweet. I'm kidding, of course, folks. Please don't. I'm totally kidding.
Oh, I thought you were kidding when you said they were sweet.
No.
Which I was going to say, dude, that's really mean. These people, I mean, they listen like occasionally. Like, well, and by occasionally, I mean we record occasionally.
It's true. So how about I kick us off?
Okay.
I am going with an oldie but a goodie. Because I am still that in love with this product. You guys have heard me talk about it a lot for years. I've written about them. I've done reviews. I just think that these are still the best desktop speakers you're going to get for listening to music in particular and gaming. And that's the Audio Engine 5s.
And now, see, I'm already jealous because I don't have those.
I am sorry about that.
I mean, my speakers are perfectly fine, but I've heard the A5s, and they are awesome.
The A5s are the bee's knees, but they also have the P4s and the A2s, and they also have the new Audio Engine S8, which is a subwoofer. But it's the A5s in particular that I think are fantastic. Now, these are on the pricey side. They're $349. When it comes to desktop speakers, you get what you pay for.
Yep, that's true. Yep.
And I just think the A5s are fantastic. They're powered. They're also a little bit big. So someone with a small desk wouldn't want them. You'd probably want to get the A2s or the P4s. The A5s have a 5-inch subwoofer. The P4s are passive, which is where the P comes in, and they have a 4-inch subwoofer. They also sound really great. But you'll need some kind of amplifier.
Oh, so not passive, like, I thought you were going to play this, but whatever.
No, not that kind of passive.
Okay.
The A5s, you know, so the A5s are powered, which means you plug them in and everything. And you know, they've got this USB port for charging an iPhone or an iPod or whatever. They look good. They sound great. And if you have an audiophile that you're looking to spend some admittedly not cheap money, look at the Audio Engine 5s at Audio Engine USA. We'll have the link in the show notes. Your turn.
Cool. Okay. So since you went with something that's a little more pricey, I'm going to go with something that falls clearly in the affordable range.
Okay.
Like to the tune of under $20.
Oh, that's great.
All right. So there's a company called A-Gloves, and it's A-G-L-O-V-E-S, all one word, A-Gloves. And they make these really nice gloves that have these special little silver fibers woven into the fabric so that you can wear the gloves to keep your hands warm in the winter. And they also will register your touches on your iPhone, your iPad, and your iPod Touch. So you can actually use your iOS device out in the cold.
Wow.
Without having to take your gloves off. And you're not wearing gloves that, you know, some of them have like the lumps all over them.
Uh-huh.
And all the individual lumps are the little like fake skin,
right,
sort of thing, and they're fine, and for a lot of people they work great, but some people, they don't have the dexterity anymore that they really want to have when they're wearing their gloves, and with the A-Gloves product, And I believe they just call it touchscreen gloves. So it's A gloves, touchscreen gloves. They look like regular gloves, and they work great.
Hmm.
And those cost $18 a pair, and they come in three different sizes.
That's really cool.
Yeah, they are really cool.
That's really cool.
They're black, but with that silver fiber woven in, they actually look like they're really dark slate gray.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's a nice neutral color also.
I'm in California, so I don't really need them, but if I was living in Colorado, I would have to have a pair. Or, you know, say any other place in the country or the world where it gets actually cold.
Right. And I don't have a pair yet myself. I need to order one. But I have friends that have purchased them. And so I've played with them, and they're really nice.
Clearly, you need to get them as a present.
I do. So, all right. Now I know what Santa can jam down my chimney.
That's what. Anyway, so my next one is going to be Mac Pro Video. I thought that would be a fantastic gift. If you know someone who's who needs some pro audio or pro video training, that you buy them a subscription or start them off with a subscription. And so what this company does, they make these great videos where they basically show you how to do particular things with particular software products. And they've got 204 tutorials right now covering, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 different, mostly pro apps. That may be actually 40-ish, but whatever. It's a lot of apps. Logic, Pro Tools, Final Cut Pro, Reason, the Ableton Live. I mean, just on even some of the GarageBand stuff and, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff. And they're great, and they're really high quality. And you can stream them, or you can actually buy HD versions if you want to download it and have it hold it forever. And they offer several pricing packages. So you can get a 3-month pass for $100. You can get a year pass for $299, or you can do the $25 a month and just pay every month. And buying the ones you can download or are additional fees, but you can basically start someone up. They've got a couple of gift things that you can do to give someone. And if you know someone who's into these things and they want to learn more, think about this. So it's macprovideo.com. We'll have a link in the show notes.
That's really cool. I like that.
Thanks.
All right. So my next pick falls under $20 again.
Okay.
All right. And this one is for people that want to make their iPhone like really uniquely their own.
Okay.
So you've heard of Jello Skins, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, yeah. So Jello Skins, they make the adhesive skins that you can put on all kinds of devices. Well, of course, you can also get them for the iPhone. You can also make your own custom Jello skin.
Hmm.
And it costs $15.
Hmm.
So you can upload a photograph of your own artwork and then position it on the little template they have,
mm-hmm.
order it, and then they'll print it and ship it out to you. And it can be full color. And so, you know, if you have like a special pet or a special someone in your life and you want to put their face on your iPhone, great, you can do it. Or maybe if you have multiple people in the same house that all have an iPhone, that
right.
have the same model iPhone, you can put a different picture on each person's phone.
Sure.
And I'm actually getting ready to do one for myself. I'm going to take one of the drawings that I've done on my iPad.
Nice.
And I'm going to colorize it and then put it on a Jello skin so that I have my own totally customized iPhone.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's $15. And, I mean, what an awesome way to customize your iPhone or the iPhone of someone else that's important in your life.
Right. I like it.
Cool.
I like it. All right. Now, so my last one is really cheating. I mean, like, I'm really, really cheating with this.
Okay.
Angry Birds Season HD.
Oh, my God. You are really cheating. But you know what? I have to let you get away with it because that's a really cool choice.
And the reason why I'm cheating is because the other thing I was going to recommend, another longstanding favorite of mine, the MX Revolution mouse from Logitech, has been canceled and replaced with a new mouse called the High Performance Mouse that doesn't do the spinny wheel thing. And so I can't recommend it.
It's kind of sad.
It is. It is kind of sad. But I can recommend Angry Birds Seasons HD. This is a new title for Halloween. And what they did is they've added one more level for Christmas-themed levels and bundled up in the same game. So if you already have it, you get the Christmas stuff for free. So you should check out the update if you do have it. And it's also tied into Game Center, which Angry Birds HD is not.
Not yet, which is kind of annoying to me.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised by that. But be that as it may, Angry Birds is such a fun game and such a huge, massively successful franchise. You might as well go ahead and add your $2 to their growing cash hoard or hash cord.
Yeah, your hash cord, whatever. That's an awesome pick.
Thanks. It's cheating, though. I know it. I mean, I really phoned that one in, but I honestly, I didn't have a choice because of the mouse cancellation thing.
But it really is a cool game. And if you haven't listened to it with headphones on.
I haven't.
Oh, Brian, you have to plug in some headphones.
I'm going to.
Plug it into your A5s.
I should do that, and I can do that.
There's a lot of awesome subtleties that you're missing out on by not having a good audio to go along with it.
Right.
All right. I guess that means it's my turn again.
Yep. There you go. Your third one.
Okay. So I'm keeping all of my gift picks under $20. Hmm. Okay. So this gift pick it's a little bit different. As far as the, you know, just the types of things we've been picking so far. All right, so when you're out and about, there's a good chance that people that you meet are still handing out business cards, because even though we're living in a world that's becoming more and more digital, business cards are still a completely
absolutely.
Yeah, they're ubiquitous. I mean, there's no way that most people can survive in the business world without business cards.
Yeah, I think they're likely to stay that way for many years.
I think so. And so you get all these business cards, and there's probably a bunch of them that you want to hold on to and reference at some point, even though they'll probably end up in address book and on your iPhone and all that. But you want to keep track of them. So why not keep track of them in a way that looks cool on your desk?
Well, why not?
Yes. So Think Geek has a business card holder that it holds 500 cards, and it looks like a miniature file cabinet. So it's two little drawers.
Nice.
And the drawers are the right size to hold your business, all the business cards you're collecting from people. And it even comes with alphabetized dividers. So you can alphabetize all the cards that you put in it too. And it's $12.99.
That is very clever. And you didn't phone that one in.
No. Well, someone had to cover for you, dude. Angry Birds HD Holiday
Seasons
Edition is not phoning it in. That's a really cool thing. And to just help make it seem less like a phone in, you can buy you can gift that to someone if you wanted.
Sure. Of course you can.
Yeah.
Of course you can. So that brings us to a close. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Wow, we got through the whole show.
We did.
Wow. You know, I wasn't sure if we were going to make it through completely simply because Well, you've been kind of wired tonight.
You will not mention my lack of sleep, Jeff. It is inappropriate.
You know, has it occurred to you that maybe I'm starting to like the nun spanking thing a little bit?
She's smacking your hand. She's not spanking you, pervy boy.
Oh, man, this game is lame.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, well.
Take us out anyway.
All right. All right. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to acm@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. And feel free to follow me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/jgamut. And yes, you'll get to dive a little deeper into all this weird stuff in my head.
And if you want to follow that naughty boy Brian, you can follow him at tmobrian at twitter.com. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
And since you're already subscribed, hey, why not stay that way?
And if you don't want to rap across your knuckles, you will see us online at the Mac Observer.